It's 7:30 and you're listening to Mayday special programming on 3CR. So you're listening to 855 AM, or you might be listening to us on the computer from the website 3cr.org.au.
Doesn't really matter how old you are or what sex you are or where you work, you know, you should be standing up for your rights.
You have a situation where employers can come along with an agreement that actually does undermine award conditions, but in a way that can still pass a legal test.
With you by my side.
Our members do the job not just because they want to get paid, but because they're committed to the work, but they're exploited in that.
So we're fighting for what is fair.
All right, so good morning, listeners. You are listening to special May Day Monday breakfast programming on 3CR at 8:55 AM. So I have to share a special article on French politics on May Day, printed in The Guardian. The headline says that France is on extra high alert for May Day as protesters march against Le Pen. Protesters are going to use May 1st marches to oppose far-right presidential candidate as Front National holds national gathering. So basically, you know, France is going to be in high alert because as workers and protesters use the traditional May 1st marches to stage a show of force against the far-right presidential candidate, Marine Le Pen. Up to 250 events have been planned across France on a day of symbolic importance for the Front National when it holds its annual gathering to honour the party's heroine Joan of Arc. In Paris, union leaders and political militants have urged a massive turnout to march between the three of the capital's most symbolic squares, from Place de la République to Place de la Nation Bastille, in opposition to the Front National and Le Pen. And of course, I guess what the police's kind of response is they kind of don't want any sort of clashes between these kind of two forces. So there's going to be a state of emergency kind of put in place during the May 1st, which were put in place after the November 2015 attack. Police said that, you know, the biggest concern was of a potential lone act, similar to that of the Champs-Élysées 10 days ago, when a man armed with an automatic rifle shot dead a police officer and injured two of his colleagues. So the first event will be a massing of Front National supporters at 7:30 AM, but the demonstrations will unions have actually kind of agreed, that they agreed on a plan for a day of mobilisation and will also hold separate events. And four other unions will also be holding a joint march, leaving Place de la République at 2:30 PM, at which up to 40,000 expect to be kept in order by 2,000 police. And many listeners might have known Jean-Luc Mélenchon of the hard left France, who was, representing the far left in the French elections, will also be attending, will be present at this afternoon march against Le Pen. These marches also come into the context, as it's sort of noted here in the Guardian article, that on Thursday there were actually several kind of hundred masked sort of anti-Fa and sort of anti-capitalist kind of activists, mostly reportedly in the Democratic, mostly students, who threw stones at police, who used tear gases to break up the protests. And, the protesters shouted, "No, not Marine, nor Macron, not Homeland, nor Barses," basically sort of speaking out against both Le Pen's nationalism and Macron's image as a friend to bosses and big businesses. So, yeah, it should be in for some interesting times in French politics, especially as we're getting into the second round of the presidential elections.
And what we're seeing in France, I guess, mirrors a fair bit of what we're seeing around the country and even in Australia, where Le Pen's Front National was made huge headways into the industrial north of France, and workers falling for the capitalist trick of divide and conquer along race lines. And really, we're seeing this similar thing here in Australia with One Nation and the other fascist groups that are organising across the country, but also, in the US with the rise of Trump as well. It's a rising problem that we need to address as a movement.
Mm.
We will be back.
And something that you feel right in your guts, those workers just keep standing up and standing up.
3CR, the voice of struggle. 8:55 on the AM band.
Okay, good morning, everyone. We have our second interview for the special May Day Breakfast program on 3CR. We have Tim Gooden on the line, who is, listeners might know him as the former Secretary of Geelong Trades Hall, and he's a, you know, a long-time fighter for workers' rights and, you know, has always been there in the struggle as a trade union leader, and but now he's back in the rank and file. And we're here to talk to him about, you know, the significance of May Day for him as a, you know, a long-time fighter for workers' rights and, you know, where the workers' movement struggle needs to go. Good morning, Tim.
G'day, Jacob. How you going?
Yeah, I guess maybe we'll just start off, you know, since it's May Day. What is your, like, you know, personal thoughts on, like, the significance of May Day for workers' struggles today?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, happy May Day. Workers' struggles today... Yeah, look, I don't think they've changed ever since the first May Day. All workers' struggles around the world have been ongoing. If anything, they've been intensifying at the moment. You know, a lot of workers might not realise it, and there's not too many celebrations of workers and unions down here in Geelong today. They'll be doing a bit this weekend, but it's not on the face of it. It's not as as important as if you look at the mainstream media, as Anzac Day and stuff like that. But the reality is, it is getting harder for workers to make a living at the moment, and protect their conditions. And the capitalists are on the march around the world to claw back a lot of the concessions that they gave away over the last 100 years.
And so what is your opinion on, like, you know, what are the current challenges that, you know, workers face today, and what are the things, you know, particularly in this context, that we need to be organising and fighting against?
I think the first challenge that workers face today is redeveloping an awareness that it's only through struggle together that they can maintain and win better conditions for themselves. It's been, like, you look at my industry, the building industry, it's been, you'd have to be over 37 years of age, nearly 40, to remember the last big struggle and strike to win the 36-hour week in 2000. So what's that, 17 years ago? That was the last big major campaign. The union's done extremely well on getting everyone good conditions every year since, but a lot of young workers wouldn't necessarily know how to win those gains for themselves. And in other industries, where they're not as organised as well, there's a very low consciousness of how to win those gains. So I think that needs to be done through demonstration, demonstrating to young workers how struggle is won, coming together, fighting together. The whole sense of collectivism and unionism needs to be retaught over again.
Yeah. Well, that's that's true, because, you know, in the statistics, you know, say that, you know, union membership, you know, is, you know, on decline, and, you know, as a young worker, what I found, you know, amongst my young peers is, you know, I actually have to give, you know, a really kind of long rundown on what actually union is, and they're like amazed, like they're kind of like they give this sort of feeling of awe that, you know, they had no idea such a thing even existed, basically. And it's even telling, like, you know, in relation to the cutting of penalty rates, there was I overheard a conversation between some young people who, you know, basically had this opinion that, oh, they thought the penalty rate changes were terrible, but they thought they were understandable because, you know, oh, small businesses need to make money.
We're all products of our environment, and that's what young people grow up with the media and the school and what everyone's telling them, that the world revolves around the capitalists giving us a job, and that they have to make money in order to give us a job. I mean, that's what everyone believes in. And unless there's something bigger than the mainstream media and the school, i.e. a mass movement, led by the trade union movement in Australia, to turn that around, that consciousness of what is ours, what is theirs, how to fight for it and win it, isn't there. Like, when I was a trades hall, we used to get a lot of high schools come through every year, the Vets and Kids program, and we'd do Your Rights at Work award awareness and et cetera. And we'd use the ACTU's computer program, was fine, where we'd teach the young people how to find their award and what their conditions are, et cetera, et cetera. And we'd go through, before we did that, we'd go through all the things that they think they're entitled to at work, you know, pay, lunch break, sick leave, et cetera, et cetera, and where those entitlements came from. And we'd write them all up on the whiteboard and that, and then we'd go through them. And anyway, I'd explain to them that every single one of those entitlements, those rights or expectations, came through a trade union movement somewhere in the past, struggling, having a blue and winning a concession from the employers, the bosses. And nothing was just given to them. You know, someone just didn't wake up in the morning and go, oh, geez, it'd be a good idea to give everyone, you know, an afternoon tea break or superannuation or maternity leave. You know, it was all one through struggle and winning those concessions and reducing them into law, into either the awards or the enterprise agreements. And that's the first time for many of them that they've heard that. And the first time that they've actually begun to understood that they could, what's won can be lost. But then again, what can be won again, but it does require lots of struggle, you know.
Yeah, I think you've really kind of expressed kind of like, you know, the real kind of relevance of May Day, and that is, you know, the importance of, you know, participating in struggle and coming together as workers, and, you know, all these, you know, rights we have, you know, have, you know, they were never given for the bosses willingly. We've had to, you know, fight for it. And I guess the next question I kind of wanted, because you work in the builder, in the construction industry, I guess what is your kind of opinion on this sort of new attack that's coming on workers, on construction workers, especially in the form of the ABCC, and how do you think, you know, workers should be fighting back against it?
Oh, look, throughout the Australian history, the ruling class has always targeted a couple of key unions at any one time, and those that were well organised, had strong discipline, high-density membership, and in the past it's been the meat inspectors, the wharfies, as we know, even the trammies, public transport, and now they're going after the CFMEU. And it's critical that people understand why the government and the ruling class want to do this, because it's part of the overall struggle of breaking down collectivism, breaking down solidarity, because when that's at its weakest, that's when the bosses make most of the gains. Now, for the trade union movement to grow, to maintain their own and to win, all solidarity must be shown to all unions that are up against it with the government. Regardless of what the propaganda is, we heard them all the different tactics over the years, the slur campaigns, the shit sheets that the governments would put out on trade union officials, the trumped-up charges, you name it. And we saw all the stuff they said about the wharfies, you know, they're the slowest wharfies in the world, the container rates, et cetera, et cetera, you know, the country couldn't survive, da-da-da. And well, they're doing the same thing about the building industry unions. And
they want to get rid of the CFMEU, not so that buildings can be built cheaper. You don't think the bosses are going to start selling buildings cheaper. Not that they can get away with more deaths, etc. Although that does tend to what happen when as soon as the union's been removed from the construction site, there's more deaths in industries. But so that the example in the trade union movement of how to organise, how to get good EBAs, etc., is removed, and as a lesson to all other unions not to resist the austerity drive by capital, not to resist the taking back of conditions in first world countries, and not to provide any solidarity to any other workers around the world. And that's the big thing. Remember, the CFMEU and all the building industry workers and unions marched down to Webdock to defend the wharfies in 1998, and there wasn't enough coppers in Victoria to tip the balance. The balance of forces on that day was with the working class. And the state, they hate that, mate. They hate that. That's why they're after to cut the head off the snake, and they think that they can win. So it's absolutely important that this struggle with against the ABCC, regardless of what propaganda's put out over the next couple of years and lead up to elections, et cetera, that all public, not just silent solidarity, but people have to openly come out and say, we're standing with the CFMEU and the building industry unions, and you lot can go and get stuffed.
Yeah, I think that that kind of message of solidarity, you expressed there is so important, because through, you know, the dominance of kind of like neoliberal kind of ideology, you know, you constantly see, you know, this sort of consciousness of solidarity, you know, undermined. And, you know, I have this, there's this really good example of this conversation I had with a friend who basically, you know, was arguing against EBAs because it basically meant that, you know, that the lazy worker would get paid the same as me. My lazy co-worker would get paid the same as me. And basically what he was putting forward was, you know, he was arguing for performance-based, you know, individualised. Yep. And that's just a telling of, you know, how this sort of...
I hope you told him that that's the boss's argument.
Yeah.
all bosses have always argued that, even before EBAs, with awards. They say, oh, you know, we've got good workers and bad workers and blah, blah, blah. And John Cummins always said, you know, there's no difference between the workers. There's good bosses and bad bosses too. But we've got to deal with a lot of you. So you'll be dealing with, you'll be paying all the workers the same. And but just these, all these issues are starting to get a little bit distorted. And like you see Trump yesterday, Donald Trump, right, trying to reclaim May Day as some sort of loyalty day to the principles of the United States was founded on, you know, and they went through a couple of shit things like freedom and a few other bits and pieces that no one really knows what they mean. Now, I took it as imperialism, racism, sexism, capitalism, war. That's what the United States was founded on. But this Sunday is absolutely critical that all workers and unions get up to the Victorian Trades Hall for our May Day march. I saw Hobart had one yesterday, and it was brilliant. All the union banners and that out, and workers out on the street, and that's what people will see. That's what people will see. That's where the arguments will be had. You know, but being involved in the union movement isn't about, you know, having a clubby, friendly network of fun people to enjoy and et cetera, et cetera. It's about fighting. Mm. It's about fighting for our rights, and we can't do that by ourselves. Mm. The whole sense of individualism, like, you know, performance-based pay, mm. You compete against other workers and climb over the top of them. That's exactly what the bosses want, mm. to divide us up. You know?
Yeah.
So, let's get out there on the streets and be together.
Yeah. I think that would be a great note to end your interview on, because we're just running out of time now. Yeah, thank you very much, Tim Gooden.
Good on you, Jacob. Have a lovely day, and I'll see you on the street.
Yeah, I'll see you on the street. Bye.
Cool. You're listening to 3CR's May Day special programming, where today we've got a lineup between 7 and 11 o'clock. You're on a very special Monday breakfast with Jess, Jacob and Matt. But after us, we have a Mayday edition of Women on the Line, talking about women workers facing funding cuts in a rape crisis centre. At 9 o'clock, a Mayday special of Black Betty looking at stolen wages in Queensland, followed by Mayday Now at 9:30, where James McKenzie explores workers' issues from an LGBTIQ perspective. So don't touch your dial. You're tuned to 8:55 a.m. or listening online at 3cr.org.au. The time is 8:09.
This is an important day because it's about standing up for workers' rights, for justice, for fairness. I don't care what colour someone's skin is, I don't care what language they speak, and I don't care where in the world they came from. Because we as workers have got to stand up for every worker having the right to justice and fairness. And every person that arrives in this country, no matter how they got here, no matter where they came from, having the right to be treated with respect and dignity. Every person has the right to respect and dignity.
Listen up, you're tuned to 855 Community Radio 3CR for May Day. Today we're celebrating as workers everywhere remember the proud past and push ahead to build a strong future. Keep tuned to 3CR and supporting May Day.
Benefits and rights that you might take for granted. Unions are the voice and silent we'd be streamed. You should be treated fairly, stand up and demand it. Who will represent me when I'm...
Hold down the line, boys, hold down the line, cows, hold down the line, boys, hold down the line.
Union makes us strong, union makes us strong, union makes us strong, union makes us strong. Touch one, touch all, united we stand. Divided we fall, touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Stand by me, I'll stand by you, defiant, determined, seek out the truth. Shore up the picket, sisters and brothers, join in the union, there's strength in our numbers. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. You get what you fight for, you fight for what you need. Only together can we stop the greed. Looking out for the poor, caring for the needy. The workers, united, will never be defeated. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Fight for your rights, there's no other way. Come one, come all, come seize the day. Fight for what's right in one voice that speaks of freedom, of justice, democracy. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall. Touch one, touch all, united we stand, divided we fall.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.